Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
If you have a clinical goal or some career goal, write it down. Make sure it's something that you are pacing towards every single day. If that's your motivation, get up and pace towards that every single day. Don't forget it. Because I think somewhere along the way, things get a little muddled, and they did for me, right? So I get very caught up in like the day-to-day and the minutia, and something I always have to say, stop, sit back and say, what is the big picture here? What's the big goal?
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tarun Agarwal, and I am not joined by Meredith this week because she is still taking care of that wonderful baby of hers, but she is still working from home, so I'm not going to bother her to come into the studio. So instead, what we're doing for the next few weeks is we're going to be doing some interviews with some dentists from around the country, because I think more dentists need to share their story. There's a lot of dentists out there that are doing amazing things. And I want to help highlight some of these people and get their stories to you so that it's not always my same old story over and over. And this week, we have one such dentist. And that is Dr. Priya Boyanpally. Did I say that right, Priya?
Close enough.
Listen, I'm brown. I should have no excuse of why I can't say that.
That's okay.
And Priya is in the Chicago area, and she owns 5 offices. And I wanted to get her on to talk about that because I think there's a lot to digest there and a lot to unpack. So, Priya, welcome on. Thanks for taking time this evening to do this.
Of course. Thank you for having
me. Oh, my pleasure. Tell me, how is life?
Pretty good. You know, the usual, kind of hectic. Today is admin day, hence the non-office background here. Got me in my...
And what does admin day mean for you?
Admin day pretty much means everything under the sun. It could mean picking up dry cleaning all the way to going to an office and, you know, doing whatever I need to. A lot of admin day is really just team building.
Okay. Do you go to the office on most of your admin days or do you work from home?
Most of them I do. Yeah, most of them I do. And then, you know, I try to make it home before the kids get back and to their activities and all that stuff. So.
Well, I do want to get to the kids and balance, but let's kind of start with, if you don't mind, I met Priya. She came to our implant program a few months back, and what stuck out about me for you was in doing our Google, I try to do a Google search on all the dentists that are coming. I don't know why I do that, but I do. What stuck out to me was that you had your own personal branding website that stuck out to me. And so talk to us about that. Talk to us about why, when, and why you have a personal branding website.
I mean, I think, you know, dentists oftentimes are really just about their office, their practice, offering services and all of that. But I feel like there's so many more facets to me in general. You know, I identify as an entrepreneur. I'm a mom. I'm a dentist, obviously. I'm a clinician. But all of those things put together need to be represented somehow. And personal branded page was the best way to give that to anyone that wants to look and check it out, you know?
Yeah. And how do people find it? What is it?
DrPriyaDDS.com.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it right now. And so
please don't put that hideous picture back up.
So you know what stuck out to me about it was I often hear here's my lesson in personal branding, and I've been a big fan of personal branding. In fact, it's how I built it's how I built my career and how it's enhanced my practice and enhanced certainly my dentist to dentist career. But I always look at associate dentists and they say, well, you know, I'm not in control of my practice website. I'm like, well, you're in control of how people perceive you and what they look at you and how they look at you. And there's nothing that out there that says that you can't be DrXYZAssociate.com. And that way, no matter where you're at, whether you're working for a group, whether you're working for a solo, whether you're working for yourself, or whether you move from city to city, that brand can follow you. And it's a way to help to get people to know more about you. And so it stuck out to me that you had such a thing. And initially, it made me actually question whether you owned your office or not, or owned an office or not, because it really did nothing. It didn't talk much about your office, actually. So it talks more about you. So, but then that led to the next thing was you're like, well, I own five offices. I'm like, well, tell me more about that. So tell me more about that.
So, I mean, the path to owning five offices was not, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It's been a journey since right about 2013 is when I started.
So almost 10 years.
Yeah, roughly 10 years. You know, I always joke is the kick in the pants that I needed was when I was pregnant with my son, my firstborn, and I was promised everything under the sun, under, you know, in this perfect associateship that I had, and it just wasn't happening fast enough for me. And I just said, you know what, it's time for to just call my own shots and do my own thing. And I opened up an office that was literally in an amazing location with all the equipment in place, but unfortunately the dentist had to retire due to sickness, illness, something like that, you know, some life event. And so he just left the practice as it was, and it had been inactive for roughly 3 months. And I thought, I knew it was going to be a big risk, but I was also in this place in my life that I didn't want to, you know, spend all my time like building a practice. So I took it slow. It was kind of a low risk investment at that time. And then, you know, here we are almost 10 years later, and we've moved to a bigger facility. And, you know, that was the first office. Second office just kind of came to me through some relationships that I made over time. I'm big into the relationships. I like to stay in touch with, you know, brokers and other dentists in the area, pretty active in like the local scene. And people talk, and that's kind of how it just kind of stumbled upon. Hey, we've got this doctor that's kind of burnt out in dentistry and he doesn't want to run a business anymore. He has this great office. He's doing great dentistry. Would you be interested? And I was just at that point where I was making enough money in my first office to hire an associate. And I thought, okay, I can consider this. Good timing, bad timing. I don't really know or necessarily believe in that. It is what it is. I was also pregnant with my second kid at that time. So
you should just, if you want more offices, you should just keep getting pregnant.
I say all the time, I'll take more practices. I think I'm done with the kids.
I should understand that. Okay. So your first office was kind of a life situation where you finally said, hey, I want to take control of my destiny.
Absolutely.
At that point in time, did you have a desire or a plan to own multiple offices?
At that time, if I'm being honest, no. I thought maybe one, possibly two, because, you know, that was what everyone was doing at the time, you know, around me. But I didn't think it would turn to 3, 4, 5 or whatever else is coming in the future. So I think more of that just happened because there was pockets of places that had a dentist, like great area, great location. We looked at the location always first, and it was a good spot, and you knew that area was growing and thriving. You know, why wouldn't you invest in it is really how it started. And it just so happened that organically we were already establishing associates in each practice, and, you know, just one thing leads to another, and then it kept growing. So I wasn't super calculated about it until we reached that third location. I realized very quickly that I was outnumbered, overworked. It's that moment where, you know, you have that third child and it's like, oh, there's more of them than there is of us. So, that was the point where I really needed to step back and say, like, okay, it's not just about growth, but it's about putting systems in place and getting organized and making this really a tight ship that can run without me. And then 4 and 5 became a little easier once those processes went into place.
So number 2 was an acquisition. What about 3?
Acquisition.
4?
Merger.
Merger. 5?
5 was sort of 2 acquisitions into 1, so that you can kind of put that into 4. You know, they kind of go
hand. Okay. I got you.
And then 5, fifth location. I mean, if we're talking about sales here, we've done more than the 5. Closer to 8. But 5 physical locations.
Okay. All right. And the fifth one was not a scratch start either, correct? No. Okay.
One scratch start.
Okay. Which was your original one? Okay. So it's a simple question, because what I'm seeing more and more in the large DSO space is that they're starting to do more and more scratch starts than acquisitions. Now, what I'm seeing in the early to mid-sized DSOs, they're doing more acquisitions than scratch starts. So what made you decide to do acquisitions versus scratch starts?
It all just boils down to risk, right? So you acquire a practice, you're acquiring the goodwill. That has its own set of risks, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, you've got money coming in the door as soon as you step foot into the practice, right? I can't be in 5 places at once. So at some point, all of these practices that we're now acquiring or merging with are mostly associate run already. So I don't have to do a ton of work where I am, you know, building the practice per se. They're already built. Most of the need arises from dentists that are either done working, meaning they're retiring, or they're just tired of running the business.
Yeah. And apologize if I'm not understanding this correctly. When you acquired these practices, did the person you acquired from stay on, or did they exit stage left?
And it just all dependent on the doctor specifically. So we had one that, like I said, life event, had to take off right away. One doctor that was in no way, shape, or form ready to retire, but his wife was ready for him to retire. So she kind of sped that process along for us. Others just, like I said, tired of running the business, but wanted to continue doing dentistry. So, you know, they have stayed on.
Yeah. Would you say to somebody that is maybe going back to 2013, 2014 in your shoes, and they're looking back, would you say that doing acquisitions is a faster way to, faster and safer way to build a multi-location organization?
I will say the right acquisition is.
Well, look, talk to me about that. When you say the right acquisition, what does that mean to you?
So there's a sweet spot in what the practice is doing from a financial standpoint.
What is that sweet spot? You know, I'm going to ask lots of questions.
Of course, yeah. I will say we're probably closer to like the 650, 700, where there's some like room to grow. anything past, you know, 1.5, they're getting different attention, right? So you probably don't need a mid-size large group like mine. So mid-size group like mine. So we're looking at the 6 to 750 range where they're
Oh, there's lots of opportunity there.
Lots of opportunity there to plug and play an associate pretty easily.
Do you look at the physical status of the practice? And what I mean by that is how big it is now. If it's 800,000 with three ops, I mean, that to me sounds like there's some room to grow, but it's also a room where I'm going to have to build something new in the very near future.
Right. So the ideal size would be 5 to 7 operatories.
How hard is it to find a 5 to 7 operatory physical space that's doing $500,000-$700,000 in revenue? Well, they're underwater.
Right, right. So the truth is, what's happening is when you're getting those 5 to 7 practices, you're probably merging another practice into that one too. So you're buying two books of business, but one physical location where you're practicing.
So in a sense, you're buying a location and then combining 1, 2, 3 practices.
Right.
Maybe not three. To help fill it up.
Haven't done that one yet, so not three.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Where are you happy in this situation of owning 5 offices?
I'm happy in, yes, that I'm constantly growing. We're learning new things. There's that, but I'm also not doing this by myself. I never claim to do that. I have my own career goals, as in, clinical dentistry and all of that. Hence, I came looking for you, T-Bone.
I was just waiting.
But yes, I do have a business partner, and that's, it's very helpful when you can offload some of those things.
And how do you guys decide who does what and how you split that up?
Very early on and very clearly. Super clear about our lanes, and we stay in them.
Okay. I say this because I don't have a business partner yet, or currently. But is it easy for these lanes to get mixed signals or them to overlap? And my guess would be it's very easy for problems to arise from that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there is. There's always potential for problems in any partnership. But you set your boundaries early. You carve out what you do and what you don't want to do. Lots of honesty, making sure that we're not disrespecting each other's opinions. Because, I mean, if you didn't respect that person's opinion, you probably shouldn't be in business.
A business partner, yeah.
Right. I also live with my business partner, so that's...
Your business partner is your spouse, correct?
My spouse, yes.
All right. So that makes it easier and more difficult both at the same time. And
right.
I think we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And kind of go from there. Okay. All right. So it's so interesting. When I was in dental school, I would have thought that I would have owned multiple offices because I have a very entrepreneurial spirit and it's what I wanted to do. And then once I got into doing my own scratch start, I wanted no part of doing multiples of those things at all. And so instead, I chose the route of working with other dentists through education, speaking, and things like that. What would you say are some of the... I want to talk about the... Because right now in dentistry, or certainly in the last 3-4 years, there's this massive movement towards... multiple offices, EBITDA, multiples of EBITDA, quick exit, quick cash, things like that, and all true and untrue. What are the goods, the bads of owning 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 offices?
What are the goods and the bads? Okay, let's start with the bads. There's always something, always a fire to put out. One of the big things that we did in 2022 is we onboarded a clinical manager as well as an operational manager, right? So these people sort of had that role, but they weren't very defined. So we defined them even further. And I mean, I found myself putting out way less fires because I had somebody else do them for me. So at a certain point, you can't worry about who's calling in sick, who's doing, who's got a baby on the way. And
yes. What do you think that point, looking backwards, when do you think that point was? Two offices, three offices?
Three, for sure. No doubt.
It's kind of like with kids. It goes haywire with three.
Yeah. Something happens at three. I don't know what that is, but something really, the balance, the shift changes where it's like you're really outnumbered at three. And that was my reality. I don't know. Maybe other people have it different.
What is the goods? What are the goods of owning all these offices?
One thing that stands out to me is I love empowering people to do something well. Okay. So I spend a lot of time with my team. A lot of people assume that because I have multiple locations, I don't go to those offices, or I'm just kind of like managing from afar. I spend time with every single office every week, and we're always trying to help extract the best out of team members.
No pun intended.
No membranes, just as trash. Yeah. I spend a ton of time with my team, and I really enjoy that. And it's funny because I'll have team members say, well, I didn't even know that I liked to do that or that I was good at it until you recognize that in me, doctor. For example, I have a team member that always said from day one that she wanted to be a hygienist. Just from day one, there was no question in her mind. And we thought, okay, if she's really going down this path of hygiene, get one, maybe 2 years before she gets into hygiene school, and then it's a done deal, right? We're not going to see her. Maybe she'll come back as a hygienist in the office if we're late, but you never know. 2 years in, she worked her way up to lead assistant. And she said, you know what, doctor? I don't know anymore. I don't know about hygiene. But that's something that I already knew about her. I already knew that she was more inclined towards management, just being a team leader. She just had these natural leadership qualities, and sitting in the op wasn't going to be where she shined. And she is probably one of my top assistants. Everybody fights over her. You know what I mean? She's just one of those people that you always want to be around. Patients always ask for her. She runs the show. She manages all of our Invisalign cases. She's, doing ClinCheck conversations with patients. I mean, there's really nothing that this person can't do. And I don't think that she knew that she had this skill until you.
Well, part of it is most debt, and this is a good point to talk about, Priya, is most dentists stay in a very simple lane of dentistry where it's sucking spit, a drill, fill, bill. They never expose team members to other opportunities or other strategies or different ways of doing things. And then they get burned out, or they don't realize that there's so much potential and opportunity within our profession. I mean, so much potential within our profession. And that's why I say many offices struggle to retain good talent, is because talent gets bored of doing the same thing after 2-3 years. They're like, there's got to be something else. And then they go find it. And so to me, it's if you want to build a long-lasting organization, you got to find a way to attract good talent and then keep good talent. And having upward mobility for them is one of the most important things for people to be able to do that.
Absolutely. We are always looking for what they want to do, what their career path looks like. So that to me is one of my favorite parts of owning multiple locations, because I'm constantly getting to meet new people, whether it be the team members that come with the practice or if it's somebody new that is coming in. I mean, we vet hard, right? We want to make sure that we're going to be investing in you. We want them to, really put something back into it. And you get the right people, and that happens almost every time. So
What would you say is your number one challenge that your organization faces right now?
It's always staffing.
It's team, people, right?
Yeah, people. It's always people.
And what do you mean by that? When you say it's people, what do you mean? You can't, they, I mean, don't exist?
It's both a good problem to have, and kind of with this kind of growth, you always need to have additional people, right? And we're pretty specific about the type of person that we want to let into the practice. If you're going to come in and wreck the culture that we've built, I mean, it's not even worth my time to have you in the office, right? So vetting people and making sure you're getting the right body in the office and not just having a body in the office, to me, that is always going to be a challenge. And in this job market specifically, I think it's a little bit more of a challenge.
It's starting to change.
Right. And we've adapted to it a little bit. You know, we've created remote positions where appropriate for the right people. And that's something that we, you know, kind of had to do during a little bit post-COVID, just to accommodate not wanting to lose really solid people. It's always going to be an issue, I feel like. It's never not, right? But as we grow, there's also really good things that come with that. Now, when I was a single location office, it was hard to do things like offer health insurance. It was hard to do.
Well, it's not hard to offer it. It's just expensive.
Right. It was difficult on me. It's not, anyone can do it. It's just, you know, do you have the money to spend on that? But now with the numbers growing, absolutely we do, obviously.
No, you have to. You have no. You probably legally don't have much of a choice either. So, all right. So now that's kind of, I want to move away from the office conversation, but I have a couple of more questions on that. Is, where do you see you taking this? Is 5 the end number? Is 20, like, do you have a vision of what you want to do? Is it locations, revenue, XYZ? And then do you have or thought about an exit strategy on all of this?
I think it's a little early for me in my career. I'm not saying that I, you know, haven't thought about it. I just think that exiting right now is not really on my.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
So if I offer you $100 million today, you probably wouldn't exit?
No, I didn't say that.
I say that somewhat jokingly because right. Obviously that's an maybe that's an unrealistic number, but we all have something that would make us exit. There's always an exit.
Right.
There's always an exit point. And I just wonder, do people think about that? Because I think about it all the time.
I sure hope they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it all too often where dentists are working into their late 60s, early 70s. And frankly, I mean, I think the hands have to retire after a while, because it's taxing work. And so, as a clinician, I know that day is going to come and I want to make sure that I have something to fall back on. And, you know, having multiple offices allows me to do that. As far as when that day comes, when will, you know, if I will sell, when I will sell, that I don't really know. And the numbers don't really, you know, the number of practices is not so much important to me. I think it's really about the keeping those relationships. You know, a big trend in dentistry now is to take other people's money to grow your practice, and that's fine. But when you take other people's money, you also have to answer to a lot of other people. So
yeah, the strings attached to it.
Right. So it's all fine and good when you raise some money, but you know, then the real work gets started. It's not raising the money, I don't think, is the big thing. It's about what you do with it and how you go from there. So I don't necessarily think that that's the route that I ever want to take. Okay. Want to keep those relationships personal. I don't really want to have to answer to a lot of other people, and just keep doing what we're doing as long as it's working and it's not burning us out. Right. My main mission is to help other dentists find a way to exit in a way that they're not forced into continue to work after they feel like they want to retire, because I think that's a reality for a lot of dentists. Closing the doors and walking away is not the way anyone should go out after so long of working. So,
do you think you're reaching a point where clinically you have to start slowing down how much you personally do clinically, or how much time you spend at direct patient care?
Yeah, absolutely. So over the last 10 years, I mean, I started at working 6 days a week, and slowly I'm at the point where I'm doing 2.5. So yeah, and I spent a lot of time on the business, like I said, on the team, and just finding ways to get better. I, of course, now have the ability to step away and go and do coursework and things like that. If I had to change one thing, I'd probably say it would be that I would have invested in the education earlier for myself. But there was always a reason not to do it then, right? And now it's comfortable to do it because I can. And obviously, you know, it's easier to spend the money when it's coming in, I guess.
Yeah, no, when there's a little bit more of it, it's easier to spend it. And right. And frankly speaking, you have more value to that because right. You have to multiply by 5 office. So everything you learn, you can pass along to the other doctors and so forth. Yeah. All right. So the first thing that also comes to my mind in all of this is when you start building a larger business, whether it's a single location with, you know, multiple doctors, or whether it's multiple locations, is there's always a price to family on that. And so how do you maintain family balance in all of this, especially as a female?
Right.
Meaning as a mother, my experience is most kids are more attached to their moms than the dads, typically speaking.
I would argue that having your own business, having the flexibility actually helps facilitate some of that balance, right? I mean, who would ever think that I would be able to have 5 offices but still make it to every, you know, Taekwondo tournament, ballet recital? I mean, I don't miss much because I set it up that way. And I think it wasn't always that way. I definitely felt like I was hustling when they couldn't remember, right? Like they wouldn't be able to remember. And I know plenty of women do it the other way around. There's no right or wrong way. It's just whatever works for your household, for your family, and it's totally fine. But it doesn't go without help. The support system is absolutely critical in all of this. I don't think if I didn't have a spouse that was supportive and like kind of on board, how could I ever? I don't think that would be possible. Just stay organized. You got to stay organized. There's no way to do this without staying on top of all the little details, right?
Have you ever thought about getting a personal assistant for yourself?
I have one.
Okay, good.
She helps me stay organized.
That to me, that is the, because I'm not an organized person, but that is the way to get organized is to recognize that you need people that free you up to focus on the things that matter the most to you.
Totally, right. And it's a complete farce that you can do everything 100% by yourself without something taking a hit.
I totally understand that one.
You have to outsource what you need to, and well, for me anyway, I have to outsource what I need to and prioritize my time so that the things that I'm doing are just completely focused on what where I want to be in that moment.
All right. So last question is what one piece of advice would you give to any dentist or younger dentist or a younger version of yourself that would help you accelerate your success?
Invest in yourself early.
And what do you mean by invest in yourself? Can you be more specific?
If you have a clinical goal or some career goal, write it down. Make sure it's something that you are pacing towards every single day. If that's your motivation, get up and pace towards that every single day. Don't forget it. Because I think somewhere along the way, things get a little muddled, and they did for me, right? So I get very caught up in like the day-to-day and the minutiae, and something I always have to say, stop, sit back and say, what is the big picture here? What's the big goal? And I've always had clinical goals to do more surgical things in my practice. And I did take some courses and things like that here and there, but I never came home and really just put it to work. Never came home and just started doing it. There was always something holding me back. There was always something that needed my attention. And just stop and invest in yourself first, because it'll pay off for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Priya, do you have any questions for me or anything I can answer for you? Other than that, I think we had a great conversation.
I think we did. I don't have any questions for you. I feel like I asked you all the questions during
this. Yes, you asked a lot of questions that week you were here. And I do appreciate you coming that week. And I think you stayed up most nights with us as a group.
I did. That experience was by far one of the most valuable CE experiences I've ever had. And I've done a lot of it.
Well, it's very different. It's not just learning implants, is it?
No, it's not. At all. You always say that you come for implants and you learn so much more. I've heard you say that like a million times, but
Didn't believe me.
You weren't lying.
Yeah. And that's what the retreat, and that's what kind of has always driven me, is helping people see their own greatness in themselves. And that's been one of my gifts, is I see other people's potential before they see it in themselves. And I want to be a vessel to help people unlock their own potential, because I think we practice in the most amazing profession, where you can be you can own one office and make a great living. You can own five offices and make a great living. You can own 800 offices and make an amazing impact on the world. There's so much opportunity within our profession. It's not drill, fill, and bill. It can be so much more, whether it's for dentists or team members. And I think the overlooked people are the front office teams, the assistants. The upward mobility for them is amazing in our profession. They just need to put themselves in the right situation, and opportunity exists. Well, Priya, how can people get in touch with you?
You can email me. Dr. Bhavanpally at udentalpartners.com. Right. Hopefully that's somewhere, because that's a long last name.
But it's on their website, drpriyadds.com.
Yes, Dr. Priya DDS is a great way to look me up and find out more. And I'm always here. If you are looking for an associateship and you want to work in Chicago, come find me.
I love that plug. Love that. Priya, thank you so much for joining the podcast. And if anybody has questions or needs advice or a mentor in this multiple office space, please reach out to Priya. She's a wonderful person that's looking to help. So we'll see everybody next week on the Dentistry Made Simple podcast.